Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello. Welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Selkirk North Parish Church. Welcome to a very special, indeed unique programme with some very special guest stars in the studio, all the way from Malawi in Africa. Scotland has close links with Malawi over many years, links between the governments and links between the churches, plus visits both ways. The most interviewed person on this show over its 12 years has been Helen Scott, a Dalry woman who has lived and worked in Malawi and before that in Zambia for half of her life as a missionary. Malawians also come over here as missionaries to Scotland, and we're all richly blessed by the cross-fertilisation. So let me welcome our guests. We have the Reverend William Mumba. He's the spokesman and he speaks five languages. He's a minister of seven congregations, ranging in membership from 400 to 1900. We've also got the Reverend James Mifandi, the moderator of Malala Presbytery, which is made up of 14 congregations. And we've got Miss Annie Makanduwiri, the Women's Guild representative, who's a great singer and a songwriter of her own songs. And we've got Miss Lindsay Kamwela, the Christian Youth Fellowship representative, who works in a hospital as an administrator. So welcome to you all. I hope you're enjoying the culture shock of visiting Scotland. And would you like to share with us a wee bit of what you've been doing recently in Scotland?
Since we've been here in Scotland, we've been moving around the churches, trying to have talking points and sharing our culture with the lovely people of Scotland. I think we've had some very special moments when we visited the Edrosan Games over the weekend and also preaching in some of the churches. Perhaps one of the most shocking things that we encountered is the way the Scottish people and probably the whole of Europe are stuck to their watches. And for us, we have what we call Malawian time, and so we don't look at our watches when we move around.
You mean Malawian time is not anything like Scottish time?
Not really, it's not the same.
What's the
because
difference?
The difference is that when you say 7 o'clock in the morning, it is 7 o'clock on the watch. But when we say 7 o'clock in the morning, it is anything between 6 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning. That is Malawian time.
It's a rough estimate.
Yes, so a rough estimate, anything in the morning. And that's what really shocked us. And so we had difficulties. The goodness is that my colleague, after learning that time is very important, he bought his own watch. I yet have to buy my own.
You know, in Scotland, when you finish working and retire, they usually give you a gift, and it's usually a watch.
Ah, that's wonderful. That's very wonderful. With us, they don't give you a watch as a gift when you are retiring. They might want to give you something different, but mostly we go home with nothing.
In your case, there wouldn't be much point in giving a watch when you start work.
Probably so, yes. A watch would be the best thing that would be given, because then I'm going to be punctual as I go to the church and work with the people.
Yeah. So you're here as a team to promote a twinning process between Malala Presbytery and Adrosan Presbytery. Can you explain a bit about that?
It's 2016 when I first arrived in Malala Presbytery, when I got communication from the World Mission or the Church of Scotland that there is a presbytery in Scotland that would like to twin or get into relationship with Mirara Presbytery. And I communicated back that I'm willing and ready to work out something that could bring us together as a church. And so I got an email from the Reverend David Watson, who is the current moderator of Edison Presbytery. And from then, we have been able to communicate with each other. That culminated in the four traveling to Malawi from Scotland. That was Reverend David Watson, Reverend Tanya Webster, Deirdre Murray, and Jim Walsh. The four spent about 7 days in Malawi, where they traveled through the entire presbytery of 14 congregations, and that in turn has brought us here to try and visit some of the churches and see if we can manage to get some congregations get twinned with the congregations in Mirara Presbytery.
I should have another program interviewing them about their experience of Malawi.
Yes, probably, but so. Unfortunately, maybe the time may not allow us.
Yeah.
So I want you to know.
Today I want to focus on your experience coming to Scotland. So what are you hoping for out of this twinning process?
The first thing that I hope to learn or achieve is to learn the Scottish culture, the way they worship, the way the ministers lead the church, and the way the presbytery clerk, because I'm a presbytery clerk, guides the presbytery meetings, and probably learn something on how the moderator leads the meetings and the presbytery. And to that effect, we've had the privilege to attend a presbytery meeting over on Sunday, and it was so lovely, and we were very, very impressed the manner the Reverend David Watson led the discussions and how the presbytery clerk was able to guide the discussions of the meeting.
I should say for the listeners that you're in a Presbyterian church and we're in a Presbyterian church, but the Presbyterian churches in both countries, while have the same structure and systems, maybe on the ground they look very different when they're worshipping?
Yes, very much so. They share the common name, Presbyterian Church, but the Malawian church is slightly different in terms of its way of worship. We have moved from the traditional Scottish way of worship, where people, I'm sorry to say, and with a lot of humility, they just stand still like statues. In Malawi, the people dance around when they are worshiping their God, especially when they sing. You'll find the whole church rising up and dancing to the music. When one of our ladies, Anne Mkandawire, sings, the whole church rises. And it is not only in the church where she is a member, but throughout the presbytery. That presents the greatest difference, because when they came here, that was not there. It was a real shock to learn that people don't dance in church.
I remember a service in Africa where they came to take the offering, and they were coming down the aisle with buckets. And the people in the pew were throwing things into the buckets, money if they had money, even vegetables. But it was the joy with which they were doing it that struck me, joyfully giving.
Yes. In Malawi, we are taught that giving to the church, to support the church work, is a duty of every Christian. And so we are trained to give what we have. Because of the training that we can give what we have, parishioners and ministers alike can give cash in terms of money. They can give a livestock like chickens, sometimes even goats, and produce from the farms, vegetables, sugarcane, corn, and other things of that nature. So that giving itself brings a lot of joy to us, because we believe that as you give, God will be able to give you back.
Yeah. What struck me was the joy in it. And also when I listened to the singing, they were singing European hymns quite seriously. Like I remember Hobgoblin and Foul Fiend was one of the lines. And then in the offering time, they spontaneously were singing in African, and it was such a difference. And since we've got you guys in the studio today, let's, instead of talking about this, let's hear the difference. So could I invite three of this group who are going to sing. This is in the Malawian
local dialect, is it?
Sumia chitumbuka yakumkimba kunja kumpinga kura.
And this is the real African singing. Sit back and be ready for a shock. So let me invite, this is James, Annie, and Lindsay singing.
Wambula kantu mchalo ichi
waliko, waliko Yesu.
Ima walipo,
walipo, walipo Yesu.
Walipo,
walipo, walipo Yesu.
Walipo Yesu,
walipo, walipo Yesu.
Walipo Yesu,
walipo, walipo Yesu.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll hear more from you later. So, can we, William, talk a wee bit about some of the issues to do with life in Malawi? Let's take, say, poverty and wealth.
Malawi is number 3 on the world index in terms of poverty, which means most Malawians are extremely poor, and we live at about $327 per person per year. And that's how poor...
That's a dollar a day.
Yeah, about so. About a dollar per day. And that's how poor we are. But that is taking into consideration that there are some people who are extremely wealthy, while the majority of people are extremely poor.
So it's over 95% live on a dollar a day.
Not only 95%, probably close to 98% of the people live on a dollar per day. Those that may be considered to be rich in Malawi are in actual fact, according to the statistics, this is 0.5% of Malawians that are extremely rich, the rest of the people are extremely poor. So it's not just the 1% that is rich, it's less than 1% of the people who are extremely rich, and most of them are politicians or are attached to politicians.
How do you feel coming to Scotland, which is supposed to be about the 7th richest in the world? The contrast, very striking.
Very striking indeed. I could give an example of 3 disciples of Jesus who went on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ. When they were on the mountain and the 3 disciples saw the glory of Jesus, Peter spontaneously said, "It is good to be here. We will build the tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and the other for Elijah." And I think Peter had in mind that probably he was going to stay with Jesus. Unfortunately, the glory must always come to an end, and so we'll be going back home. We go back home, honestly speaking, feeling that heaviness, that if only it was possible to carry part of the wealth to share with our people at home. Unfortunately, we cannot do that either.
Yes.
The wealth must remain here, and we go to our people.
But when you go back home, would you not say that the Malawians have a wealth that the Scots don't have, maybe not materially, but spiritually?
Yes, I would say that. Malawians, in terms of spirituality, I think they are richer than the Scottish people.
In what
way? We tend to think that maybe the Scots have a kind of moral bankruptcy because they don't go to church. They put their faith and trust in the wealth which they have, instead of putting their trust and hope in the God who gives them that wealth. That is striking. Malawi is rich again with its smile. In spite of poverty, we give to the world the warmest smile that you can find anywhere in the world. And that's why I call it the warm heart of Africa.
If you speak to older people in Scotland, they will talk about the good old days when Scotland was poorer, but people were happier. Why is it that in poverty people can be happier?
I think they are contented with life. When you are poor, you don't have a lot of worries. You may worry to find bread for your stomach, but that's about all. But when you have wealth, you worry about too many things: how to spend your money, and how to protect your money. But when you are poor, you have nothing to protect. All you live for is today and tomorrow. You never can tell what will happen to you tomorrow. So you make the most out of life because of what you have in life.
And there's a famous quote that poverty unites and wealth divides. People mm-hmm. share in their time of need mm-hmm. in a way they don't share when they've got everything.
Yeah, very true mm-hmm. of what you have said.
Can I move you on to democracy and politics? How are things in Malawi?
Generally, things as it is today are not very rosy. When our current president came into power in 2014, we thought that he would probably change the situation, the way people live in Malawi, the fair distribution of wealth. Unfortunately, and very unfortunately, what the president preaches to people is not what is on the ground. When he recently came to visit in Britain, he spoke very nice language that Malawi is better off now than it was before 2014. But in fact, we are all crying as citizens because now, in terms of corruption, we have the highest rate of corruption. In terms of lack of drugs in hospitals, now it is much worse than 2014. And there are a lot of things that are becoming more of a problem because the resources which are supposed to have been helping the people go to the few that surround the president. And so politically, everyone is discontented. We are just looking forward to 2019 when we have our elections and people are geared up and they're now campaigning to see if they can unseat the current regime.
Can I ask you a difficult question? That in this country, people sometimes do not give to poor people because they believe it's all corrupt. And if we give our money, it will get lost in the corruption. Can you give a reason why people should still give to the poor places?
The corruption of a few should never be the reason why you cannot give, because there are a lot of good people in my country that do the best things that they can, especially when you provide support through the church, through NGOs, or through direct support to the needed projects.
If it comes through the right channels, it does get there.
It gets to the grassroots. When the money goes through the right channels, it is when the money goes through account number one, which is government account, when things are really terrible. That's when corruption can really be felt.
Yeah. Is the corruption all the way down the system?
Yes and no, because we are human beings and you cannot rule out some corruption down the line. So far, corruption has been like embedded or has been built up mostly on the highest level.
Yeah.
There's very little corruption down below to the grassroots. Very, very little. You cannot even, because there is nothing that they can be corrupted with.
Yes.
But otherwise.
And to be fair, I think every country has this as well.
Yes.
Sometimes it's dressed up more sophisticatedly, but it's still corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Can I move you to health? The health issues in your country. You touched on it a minute ago about the hospital lacking medicines.
While the world has stopped talking about HIV/AIDS, in Malawi, there is still high prevalence of HIV/AIDS. This has been compounded by migrant labor. And so instead of going down, it is going up. The world has been very kind to our country in the sense that they provide ARVs through the Bill Gates Foundation and the Bill Clinton Foundation. So in terms of providing ARVs, the situation is better. But in terms of caring for the other illnesses, then the situation is different. Mostly when you get sick and you go to the hospital, they will tell you to go and buy the medication which you need for your cure. But when you go to buy the medications, the medicines from private pharmacies, the prices sometimes can be very high to the extent that the common person might die because they have no money to buy the medications.
This country is proud of its National Health Service, but more and more we hear complaints about how long it takes to see a doctor. How long would it take you to see a doctor?
If you go to the hospital, the first people you're going to meet are medical assistants.
Yeah, but in your own area where you live, the local GP, how long would it take to get an appointment?
You might end up without seeing him. Very occasionally do we meet the GP, and it might take a month or so, but most of the treatments are treated by the lower clinical officers or medical assistants.
Yeah.
Unless the illness is extremely serious, you might be able to meet the GP.
Yeah.
And we don't have a personalized GP in the area where we live.
Yeah. If we had more time, we could have spoken to Lindsay about this because she works in a hospital. But for time reasons, let's move to education. How are things with schools?
In terms of education, we have copied the British system of education. We are trying to change, but it's not working. The unfortunate part is that we don't have the teaching and learning resources. The teacher-pupil relationship ratio is also very difficult. For example, my wife is a teacher in one of the classes. She had 120 pupils to herself, and so making the work very, very difficult for the teacher as she or he teaches the different classes. Sometimes one teacher can go to two or three classes, teaching maybe 5 to 6 subjects per day. And so that is a little bit difficult. Number two, lack of desks. Pupils will sit on the floor, cramped together. And when they are writing, they have to use their thighs as the resting place for their notebooks. So that is another problem. The other problem is lack of library books. They learn, but without books to read. And so teachers depend mostly on what they are taught in during the time they are in TTCs. So they will use that material to continue teaching, even if they have been teaching for close to 20, 30 years. They will still be referring to the materials which they collected while they were in TTC. So that is a problem in itself.
And you were telling me earlier this week that you have 50 church schools in your area.
Yes.
Only one has books?
Yes, only one has books. And that school which has books was lucky to have been twinned with one of the schools in Scotland. And it is the Scottish school that sends the books to that school. But the rest of the 50 schools have no library. They don't know how a library looks like. Apart from that, I forgot that sometimes classes can be closed because of lack of water. Pupils come to school, but because there is no water, they are told to go and draw water for the teachers, because teachers need water, and sometimes they have to go to the grinding mill. So the parents take the responsibility once a week to carry the corn for the teachers, to have it ground and bring it to the teachers so that they have food on their table. So some schools are experiencing that. The other thing that they experience, and that is difficult, is that when they go to school at 7 in the morning, they will be there until 2 o'clock, but most of them have nothing. And those schools which have something, they depend on Mary's meals, and they only have a bowl of porridge per day. And sometimes when they go home, they have no food. So hunger is one of the problems that hinder our children to go to school.
It's very hard to learn if on an empty stomach and you're feeling sleepy and tired, having walked miles for your water.
Very much so, very much so.
There's so many things we could have touched upon, but our holy half hour is only a half hour. Have you any last thoughts or comments from your two cultures, from coming from Malawi to meeting Scotland? Have you lessons that you've learned in Scotland for Malawi, or any lessons from Malawi that you could teach Scotland?
There are some things that the Scottish Church could learn from Malawi, especially the way Malawians worship, the way Malawians evangelize to their people, and the way they live as a community, the joy and the happiness which they find in coming to church. We could learn from Scotland to have that mind and that spirit of giving a little bit more than we do, and in trying to care for our fellow communities. Because sometimes the church can have some resources, but that spirit of lack of sharing is what probably needs to be learned a lot from the Scottish Church.
This is the whole point of this process of twinning. It's a process, gradual thing. As we get to know each other better, we will learn from each other and both be enriched at both ends.
Very correct, correct. Yeah.
So thank you very much to all of you, to William Mumba, James Mifandi, Annie Makanda-Weary, and Lindsay Kamwela. I would like us to finish on a musical note and invite the three of you to sing your next song. So thank you very much for coming and enriching our experience here, and may God richly bless you back home in Malawi.
Thank you so much for having us here. It has been a great joy to be part of the program. Thank you so much.
I just want to slip in one last piece of music as I finish. This is Ekwendeni School, where I believe your daughter's a pupil.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Helen Scott used to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the visually impaired choir singing Be Happy.